Feel the beat.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Arts. In a few moments, we'll be meeting the leader of the British rock group Stereolab. He's been inspired by a classic Czech animated film on the band's new album. But first, we're off to Prachatice in South Bohemia, where a new museum of puppets and the circus has just been opened. The person in charge of the puppet collection is Lenka Šaldová. She told me a little about the history of puppet theatre in this part of the world.
To unikátní postavení, které má české loutkové divadlo.
What's unique about Czech puppet theatre is the sheer amount of folk theatre that existed here and the number of folk puppeteers who travelled around Czech villages from the second half of the 19th century. At the start of the 20th century, many families had their own little theatres. Also, the first ever puppetry magazine in the world was founded in the Czech lands, as was the first International Puppeteers Association.
V Čechách byla založena první mezinárodní loutkářská organizace na světě.
Today, puppet shows are aimed almost exclusively at children. But that wasn't the case 150 years ago, says Lenka Šaldová.
In the beginning, it was intended for the whole village. It became more of a thing for children later, in family puppet theatres and in clubs. In the early days, you would have seen plays like Faust or the well-known Czech play Fair in Hudlice. But then, from the beginning of the 20th century, more fairy tales were performed.
The performers of such works were wandering puppeteers who went from village to village and often crossed national borders.
Sem proudilo mnoho loutkářů, ať už z Anglie, z Holandska nebo také z oblasti rakouských a německých.
A lot of puppeteers came here from England, from Holland and from various parts of Germany and Austria. But then some Czech puppeteers began venturing to Austria. The earliest known Czech puppeteer was Jiří Brath, and archives there mention him. What's interesting is that most puppet theatres were in the Czech language, unlike real theatres, which were often in German. So folk puppeteers helped keep awareness of Czech alive.
A tím pádem to lidové loutkářství pomáhalo udržovat nějak povědomí o jazyce.
Jiří Brath may be the first known Czech artist, but he's by no means the biggest name in the history of puppet theatre in the Czech lands, says Lenka Šaldová.
Probably the most famous Czech puppeteer, about whom there are many legends, is Matěj Kopecký. In Prachatice we have puppets made by his grandson Arnošt Kopecký. Like many puppeteers, in those days he wandered from village to village and lived in great poverty. He was forced to sell his puppets. They were bought by the Union of Friends of Puppet Theatre, who gave them to the National Museum.
Among the 3,000 or so puppets at the museum in Prachatice, you'll also find work by the great Czech animator Jiří Trnka.
Maybe it's not well known that Jiří Trnka wasn't just a maker of animated films. During the 1930s, he worked at the Divadlo feriálních osad in Plzeň, where he did a variety show for Josef Skupa. One piece he made is a beautiful figure skater. The pieces we have are actually replicas because the originals are still being used in the Špejbl and Hurvínek
theatre.
Lenka Šaldová of the new Museum of Puppetry and the Circus in the South Bohemian town of Prachatice. But staying with the legendary Czech animator Jiří Trnka, he inspired my next guest, Tim Gain, the leader of the English band Stereolab. This track you're hearing, which opens and closes their new album Fab Four Sutur, is called Kybernetická babička, Cybernetic Granny, after a classic early 60s film by Trnka. When Stereolab played in Prague earlier this week, Tim told me a little bit about the film and why it had inspired him.
This is one of his last films, actually, and it's about a kind of futuristic world of
kind of contraptions and all sorts of kinds of interesting things. And it's, you know, it's a really great film. It has really good music. But this wasn't why it was called that. It was a film I'd seen when I was younger, like when I was, I don't know when it was, like, maybe I was a late teenager, early 20s, I don't know, and I was quite a fan of these type of things, but then when I was in Japan in 2001, I saw a DVD of it, so I bought it for my son, and, because I like these things, so I thought, you know, he might like it, and he likes it, and I was just watching it with him, you know, around the time of recording in France, and I just thought it was a really nice title for the track that I was working on, because it kind of had the same kind of open-ended, a little bit like futuristic, but a bit absurd or a bit silly sounding. And actually, it's got a nice sympathetic kind of nature that would probably go with the film as music.
Are you interested in any other aspects of Czech or Czechoslovak culture?
I'm quite a big fan of some of the Czech posters. You know, I really like both Czech and Polish kind of art in terms of posters, film posters or theater or event posters and so on. And I really am a big fan of that sort of style, but I'm not a super aficionado of it or not super knowledgeable about it. I mean, I'm just, you know, I like it. And of course, I like Jan Stankmajer, you know, his films I was really impressed with. And I like the general, rather crudely absurd kind of humor of these things, you know. I think it's quite a nice alternative to the general way to look at things. And, you know, walking around the city, there's some aspects of the architecture, actually, which kind of quite mirror that quite a lot, I think, you know.
Well, I found out myself just the other day that the houses on Golden Lane, you know, at Prague Castle, were designed by Jiří Trnka in the 50s. He put those facades on the houses.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't know that.
This isn't your first time to Prague. You've been here how many times?
Three before, so four altogether.
And when were you first here? What were your impressions when you first came here?
I really liked it. I mean, I nearly got run over, actually, the first time I was here. About the closest to ever being run over by two trams at the same time. They were both coming towards me in opposite directions, opposite this club called the Belmondo. And I had to just jump, run across the road in front of cars. Otherwise, 2 seconds later, I would have been... So that was one of my impressions of it. But, I mean, I thought it was, like, a really nice... I like these kind of dark, windy lanes, and it was quite, you know, interesting. Because it's actually quite weirdly different to, you know, the sort of parts of the Europe I would have normally gone to. You know.
There's about a 10-year gap from when you first came here to now. And how do you perceive the changes here?
I think that obviously the whole kind of tourist aspect of it has exploded and everything's now in English, and I don't remember anything being in English when I first came. I think the general vibe and feel of the place is pretty much the same, really. I mean, it's hasn't gone a kind of radical yuppie kind of reinvention or something that you think might would have happened. And they don't measure out the food in grams as much as they used to, but they still put the fact of how many grams it was, which is enough, still kind of throwback to the old days, I suppose, that you've got 100 grams of pork. But the old days, even when we first came, they would measure it on a kind of, you know, scale. It's kind of weird, you know.